Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. Please be seated. Well, welcome. Welcome to the chaos and confusion that is the Sunday of the Passion, Palm Sunday. Even our Book of Common Prayer cannot decide what this day should be about. That's the exact title of the liturgy. Sunday of the Passion, colon, Palm Sunday. It's interesting, the liturgy we do on this day, the shift that we are all involved in from the celebration that we just reenacted of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem to the horror of his death on the cross. It's pretty jarring, isn't it, that shift? And that's intentional. It's meant to be jarring. I hang out on Twitter with a bunch of Anglicans from all over the world, which is quite entertaining. I can tell you how to get there if you'd like it to participate yourselves. I'm only on there because many of them just need a little straightening out, you know, from time to time, stuff they're not doing right. But there was a great conversation all week long amongst people, really are scattered all over the globe, and found out that several of them do not even read the Passion Gospel on Palm Sunday. The Passion is the gospel that describes Jesus' torture and arrest and death and crucifixion on the cross. They just skip it. They say it's too much. Or why bother to do it on Sunday when we're going to do it again on Good Friday? We read the Passion Gospel on Good Friday, although a different version. I guess it's a valid point. It is believed that the creators of the prayer book put these, mashed these things together, blessing and procession of the palms and then the death of Jesus, combining them into one service to make sure that everyone had ample opportunity to hear the Passion Gospel at least once during Holy Week. I guess making the assumption that people aren't coming back on Good Friday. But I know you will, because I talked about that all last week, didn't I? We don't just hear it today, though. We don't just hear it, we actually participate in it. Some of you will speak as actors in a play. All of us will participate, becoming the crowd, begging the Romans to crucify Jesus, to release Barabbas, the thief, and kill the Messiah instead. The importance of entering fully into this week begins with this liturgy and the jarring nature of what we move into, I think is needed and important and necessary, which is why we have changed things up a little bit the last few years, and we will today, moving the actual reading of the Passion story to the very end of the service, after Eucharist. And we will all leave today with that ringing in our ears. We'll leave in complete silence to contemplate what we just heard and participated in. Hopefully to have it soak in, to infiltrate our minds and our souls and our hearts, separating us for a time from the world and putting us, all of ourselves, souls, and bodies, in a place to receive everything that Holy Week can give us. So we need to be jarred. As he hung there on the cross, nailed to it, with death fully on its way for him, Jesus looks out at the crowd and says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Well, talk about jarring. Can you imagine those words coming from one whose life is about to end? This enormous and shocking act of forgiveness strikes us as a nearly impossible example of the kind of love Jesus calls us to. You'll hear these words in the Passion Gospel in a little bit. Don't let them be lost in the enormity of everything else that we are experiencing. I want you to savor it, that moment, that forgiveness, that power in that forgiveness, and never forget, ever forget, that that same forgiveness is for you too. Now, I think it is both an advantage and a disadvantage to reenact these events on this side of history, for we know how it all ends, right? We know we'll be back here on Sunday or somewhere in church wearing our Easter best and welcoming lots of visitors and shouting hallelujah and ringing bells because the tomb was indeed empty. Jesus died, but he did not stay dead. It kind of softens the blow a bit to know how it ends. Maybe this year, though, we can keep the risen Jesus a week away and be here in this moment. One special part of our pilgrimage to the Holy Land back in November included walking down from the Mount of Olives, where you can see all of Jerusalem laid out in front of you, down the path to the gates of Jerusalem, just like Jesus did. It was exciting and exhilarating, and we were singing songs as we walked down that path and trying our best to picture the crowds like you, shouting their hosannas and waving their palms and laying their coats on the path. But unfortunately for us on that pilgrimage, that part of our time there came after we had already visited the tomb and Calvary. It's kind of like Holy Week, isn't it? It's all kind of out of whack sometimes. But I remember that part especially well. It was a very moving time. And I was doing what I usually do. I was mostly the rear guard the whole time we were on this trip. I was behind everyone else, just kind of making sure everybody stayed together and didn't wander off, and having to grab them every now and then because they went to take a picture or something silly, in my opinion. So I did a lot of that, a lot of herding cats on this trip. But I was doing that on this journey down from the Mount of Olives, and I began to kind of shift my gaze, which is what I've been praying for all of us to happen. Instead of seeing the people in our group, transporting ourselves to that time, crowd on either side of us. And I could picture, as we got down near the bottom of that road, a donkey ridden by a man every bit as human as we are, being greeted by this adoring and exciting crowd. The King of Kings has come, waving their palms, knowing, Jesus knowing, that even in that moment, that celebratory moment, the people shouting Hosanna, that those people, they too, know not what they do. Because the time was fast approaching when Jesus would, in the words of Paul in our reading from the Philippians today, empty himself of all his godness. And then, having done so, obediently facing it all. And he faced it all for you and for me. So it is well that we face it too. Be here today. Let us take up the cross. Let us take up the cry. Let us take up and give back that love that says, Father, forgive them, for we know not what we do. Let us be right there in this moment for right now. Can we do that? Welcome to Holy Week. Amen. Prayers of the people.